die now. For a terrifying new tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
Live on, oh my God, Rick, I screwed up the opening. Live, it's Asylum, the Asylum Fantasy Football Show at AsylumFantasyFootball.com.
And for you English-speaking people out there, it is the Asylum Fantasy Football Show. We are Fleeger and Briggs. Thanks for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving. This is a Friday after Thanksgiving. And drop us a line, AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
On Twitter, at Asylum Football, answering all your lineup questions right up till kickoff.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, you can hear us on WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock.
Yes, sir. So, Rick, let's go back to Twitter. As we said, we finally hit that 1,000 mark at Asylum Football on Twitter. And I want to relate a story I was very excited about happened this week, and you know all about it. Now, granted, I give you a hard time, Rick, sometimes about your age. I think I overshoot it a little bit. But let's be honest. Realistically, you're what, about 74, 75, right?
No. Well, I am a svelte, wonderful, awesome-looking 54.
All right. Well, you don't look a day over 87, I promise you, and I mean that as a compliment. But I wish you guys could see, well over a year ago now, a year ago August, we got together to put this show together, and trying to watch my, what do you call yourself, svelte, my svelte friend try to grasp exactly what we were doing here and putting this show together and introducing him to Twitter was a great amount of fun for me to watch. Now, I wasn't a Twitter expert myself, but watching you try to grasp it was like trying to watch a monkey impregnate a football, for lack of a better term.
Is this going anywhere?
It is going. It is
well,
going somewhere.
Can we
somewhere.
Speed it up just
no,
a tad?
This is a good story. We got time. Don't worry. We got a whole hour to kill, and everybody's tired of football at this point.
I'm not.
So much to my surprise, and I don't know if it's my chagrin or my excitement, I get off work the other day. I hop on our Twitter feed because I'm a man of the people, checking out Twitter, trying to help everybody out. And what do I see but our friend Mr. Briggs in a full-on Twitter conversation with Charlie Daniels, a man who 15 months ago didn't know what a Twitter was. He had tried to shoot it with a BB gun. He's on there chatting away with Charlie Daniels. This blows my mind, and I can't. This is like a parallel universe. Dogs are sleeping with cats. Everything's upside down, and I don't understand it.
Why wouldn't you understand that?
But how are you? I don't get it. How are you talking to Charlie Daniels? How did you pull that off?
I've talked to many, many, many famous people in my day.
Well, but not on Twitter. Through your
It's just another
football show.
It's just an avenue for other people to find me. That's all.
So they're looking. Charlie Daniels was seeking you out. That's what you contend?
Yeah, most likely.
All right. That has nothing to do with it. It just blew my mind that Rick Briggs, 74-year-old svelte Rick Briggs, chatting away via social media with the Charlie Daniels. And it was the verified account, and I checked and made sure.
Well, you know, you just keep coming. You just keep coming after me with my age, but see, with age comes wisdom.
Yeah, and gray hair. And,
well, yeah, you're not kidding there,
pot belly, apparently. But let's move on. Rick, packed show tonight. We will try to get to some questions, answer your calls towards the end. We're going to hit the headlines, of course, do the starts and sits. Three games with some serious fantasy implications yesterday we want to cover. And because we are nothing if not hacks, we are going to do some terrible radio shtick. Although it's a day late, we're going to give you what we're thankful for this Thanksgiving in terms of fantasy football. What could be more hack, and what's more hack than us, to be honest?
Oh, there's a lot more stuff that hacked in us.
Yeah, not much. We're up there. So let's jump right into it, though, Rick, with some headlines. Not a lot going on. coming out of those games. But Jay Cutler limited in practice this week, questionable at this point, expected to have an announcement Saturday, which would be tomorrow if you're listening to this live. Huge implications fantasy-wise in terms of any of the Chicago Bears, most notably your boy Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, I'm just hoping Cutler starts.
That's just going to hope.
I think he's going to, from everything I've heard. I think he's going to.
They seem to be leaning that way.
And, I don't think that they can gamble with Jason Campbell too long, I wouldn't think. They're in a tight race. I mean, Green Bay's woken up, and Minnesota hasn't gone away, that's for sure.
Yeah, Minnesota just good enough to be a pest anyhow. Moving on, Darren McFadden, Mike Goodson out once again. Going to be some tough scenarios. It might be tough to keep Marcel Reese out of your lineup after what he did last week.
Oh, yeah, last week and the weeks previous, just with the receptions and so forth, he's becoming very legitimate.
In a PPR league, he's almost a must-start. And I saw Rick speaking to Twitter, back to your excellence in Twitter. You were having an interaction with a guy, asked you Jamal Charles or Reese, and you actually recommended Reese over Jamal Charles this week.
I did. And, it was with reservations. Like I said, I was hoping he could get both of them in there. But I don't know. I was just looking at the schedules and so forth, and you have Oakland at Cincinnati, not the easiest one there. But Kansas City's playing Denver, which I
real
do,
good defense.
I do not like that defense, and I think Manning's going to be airing it out on Kansas City, and I don't know how much Romeo will be able to afford to use Charles. They're not going to be able to run the ball, I don't think.
No, they will struggle when you never run. No, Romeo may just only give him the ball six times as he's wont to do. So moving on, Percy Harvin, doubtful. Doesn't look like he's going to play. Another bad break for the Vikings offense and Percy Harvin owners. No word yet on Shady McCoy. That's going to be a tough situation if you're a McCoy owner. He's only still in stage one of the – is it a five-part concussion thing they do? Still in stage one. He plays Monday night. You don't have a lot of options there. What are we going to recommend to a Shady McCoy owner?
Boy, I tell you what. All you can do is monitor through Sunday if you really haven't heard anything definitive. I don't know if you gamble it. Look, their season's down the toilet. Are you going to risk one of the top three backs in the league? And need I say, can you at this point with concussions and everything else involved?
But in terms of your fantasy team, I think we got to look at – here's the point. If we don't know anything Saturday, which we're likely not going to, do you pick up Brown, roll the dice, hope McCoy plays a great matchup against Carolina, have Brown, obviously you can't play D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart's not out there, we won't get to go down the D'Angelo road again, Tolbert's about not playable, so the question is, do you pick up Brown, roll the dice with McCoy on Monday, or do you go ahead, set him down, play, hopefully you have somebody good in reserve that's obviously going to be playing Sunday, what route are you going to take if you're a Shady owner?
The way I draft, I would fall back on my RB2 and 3 because I've drafted running backs early on.
Sure, as the commandments told you.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there with two other running backs that are questionable to be, to be kind as far as fantasy value goes, maybe you do go out and gamble on that. But I'm not going to gamble on something like that. I'll go with a low-end RB2, RB3, and go 1 week and hope that they'll come through for me. I don't like going out and grabbing backups. We've seen, Javon Ringer, Rashard Jennings, so forth. They just don't seem to just walk right in and take over the job and give you sufficient points.
No, it doesn't happen often like it used to. You could grab that handcuff. The only time you want these lower-end guys is if they're part of some sort of committee. I do that. So I agree with you. If you follow those commandments, you've got somebody on your bench who, he's going to be a big downgrade from McCoy if McCoy plays, but I think you can hedge your bets a little better and be safer than you would with Brown.
I agree. Speaking of some of these backup running backs, look at Rashard Jennings. You got Parmalee in there getting the bulk of the work
Parmalee.
Now.
That's a terrible NFL name, by the way, Parmalee. It just tells you all you need
to know.
Sounds
like jelly.
That's marmalade.
I know, but it rhymes.
It's an old word.
I forgot to say so. I forgot to bring something up. Do you remember, and if anyone listening right now live were listening Tuesday.
Probably not.
We had about a 10-minute argument over Sid Luckman.
The best Sid Luckman fight in the history of radio.
Yeah. And
perhaps the only one. But
And it turns out, well, I'll preface it before by asking you, you remember Norm Van Brocklin, the name, you know, old-time player, obviously, he coached for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm sure you've heard of him.
You're going to yell at me if I say no.
Probably.
Yeah, Norm who? Yeah. Is he that guy who went in the bar and everyone said, Norm! Is that that guy?
That was Peterson.
Oh.
On Cheers.
Oh, yeah, he was a baseball player.
I hope you like
or
Cheers.
Or was the bartender that
you
was
did like Cheers,
player.
Right?
Who didn't like Cheers?
Well, there you go. Okay.
Anyhow, so Norm
anyway, we
Van something or other.
Well, Norm Van Brocklin, we argued for 10 minutes over Sid Luckman because, who was the clown? It just, Matt Schaub threw for 527 yards and became tied second all time.
To Sid Luckman.
Well, no. Actually, no. He argued over the wrong leader. It was Norm Van Brocklin.
Oh, really? So you brought up the wrong name, besmirched my family name over not knowing who it was, and it wasn't the right guy anyhow?
Oh, you besmirched that years ago.
That's true. That's a fair point. So that's what you get when you listen to The Asylum, everybody. Half-truths, misinformation, and two dummies fighting with each other, apparently.
But it's fun.
Yeah, I'm having fun, and that's all that really matters. So going back to the headlines, Rick Antonio Brown, questionable, limited in practice. He says he expects to play. I don't know how much that's worth. That's a 1 o'clock game. I think that's something you can monitor. I guess the question then is, Rick, if he plays with the Charlie Batch situation with everything going on in Pittsburgh, do you give Antonio Brown a shot, or are you going to stay away from him this week?
I'm having to, and sometimes, you know, you pay for it, but when it involves knees and below,
yeah.
I really hate to just throw in a start, even though they're coming back.
And when it involves Charlie Batch.
Well, that too.
That factors in for me.
Which probably is an upgrade, in my mind, passing-wise, over Byron Leftwich.
Very well could be, at least in the Steelers passing game. You know, I think it hurts Mike Wallace because you're not going to see that deep game.
No, but I think it helps Heath Miller.
Definitely Heath Miller, and I think Antonio Brown, who surprisingly, with his size and his speed, has become the possession guy on this team. I think Charlie Batch is going to be able to run that Haley dink and dunk kind of offense a little better. He gets it out quicker. He's a three steps and out kind of guy.
Right.
He's not Big Ben, but I think he's going to have better. Like Mike Wallace is the guy. Well, we'll get into that in the start and sit segment. Sticking with the Steelers, Big Ben now, they're saying Jason Lockenford reports expected to be back in week 13, so appears to have healed up here a little quicker than we expected. I'll be curious to see how that all works out. But good news for your other Steeler fantasy players. I don't know what it means for Big Ben just yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We all know the guy's tough, but, I mean, if they were saying that rib was dislocated.
That doesn't sound good.
Came close to the aorta. I hope it stays in place. Let's put it that way.
I hope they've relocated the rib and we don't see gore on the field, apparently. Last bit of news I have, Rick, a guy you have a bit of a tiny man crush on, I've noticed lately. Danny Amendola doubtful for this week, so a big hit to the Rams offense.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Amendola's turned into a pretty good possession guy for Sam Bradford, and when he was out with that collarbone injury, they really struggled and seemed to pick it up when he got back. So he's kind of, you know, that's going to be a tough blow for them, even though they're kind of weak. You may want to, I don't know, you know what I mean, with Steven Jackson all of a sudden. He had some success with Amendola in there because the passing game was a little more of a threat. Now I'm not so sure.
What do you make of Gibson? He's put up, you know, if you're in a deep league, a three receiver in a flex league, with Amendola being out, this guy seems to be fine in the end zone. Putting together some catches, been the deep threat in this offense. He's a guy we've never mentioned on this show and you don't hear a lot of. If you were in a bind, if you were an Amendola owner, somebody you might look at a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I actually had him on one of my leagues for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, just as a – that'd be always value. With the bye weeks gone, probably not something you're going to consider right now. So that's all I have for headlines, Rick, unless you have anything else. Maybe we ought to jump in. Three football games, major fantasy implications. One of the strangest games I saw and two of the ugliest games I've ever seen in a long time. But some Turkey Day football action yesterday.
Awesome.
I had to. It's a hack show tonight, everybody. It's our Thanksgiving special, and we are hacks, so you're just going to have to deal with it. So, Rick, let's start out. The strangest game I've seen in a long time. Houston beats Detroit 34-31 at the end of overtime. Some big numbers going out with the thing going almost five full periods. On the Houston side, Matt Schaub, 315, a touchdown and a pick. Foster, 20 for 102. It took him five quarters to get over 100, but he got there, but put it in the end zone twice. And Andre Johnson does it back-to-back weeks, 9 for 188. Didn't find the end zone, but another huge game out of Andre Johnson.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, that offense for Houston was clicking pretty good. Foster had a huge day. I tell you what stuck out in my mind, though. I've been talking about Detroit all year. You see, you know, Sue, some of his antics, you know, LeSure and so forth. You know, there's the head coach going off half-cocked, throwing a challenge flag, you know, prematurely on a scoring play,
okay, which
automatically gets reviewed. I mean, come on. I mean,
yeah, hold on. Now, let me stop. Okay, it's a bonehead play. He should know that rule.
Exactly. That's my point.
That is beyond question, beyond the shadow of a doubt, the stupidest rule I've ever heard.
I agree 100%.
First of all, for a professional referee to make that call, you could see it live watching it on TV. I don't know what they were looking at letting it go. You know what I think's happening this year, and I don't like it? Anything iffy at all that results in a scoring play, they're calling a touchdown so they can get that automatic review. And that's crap to me. Do your job. Know your job and do it.
Here is the problem I have with it. I don't mind that they review every scoring play, but when he throws the challenge flag, all of a sudden the review's out the window.
Why
don't they
I can see the penalty.
Why don't they review it? Okay, say, okay, no, he was down at the X yard line, and then give them a 15-yard penalty on top of that, you know, from that point. But no, they throw it out the window and give them a gift score, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, and they know full well they made a bad call. I agree. If you want to throw the penalty, actually, you know what? I don't even agree it should be a penalty, but if we want to meet in the middle, we can do that. How many times do those donkeys throw a flag, all get together for 45 minutes, have a cup of coffee, and come back out and say, ah, never mind, no flag on the play? No, Schwartz didn't do anything different. There was an awful call. He got worked up. He threw the flag out. Come on, what a stupid rule. That's got to be changed. And it cost somebody a game with major, major playoff implications.
Sure it did. Sure it did. But that's the thing. I mean, okay, ignorance of the law or ignorance of the rules is not an excuse. It's kind of like that one press conference a couple years ago, 3 years ago, Donovan McNabb. I didn't know we had overtime.
Okay, that's
okay,
stupid.
Okay, yeah.
That's stupid.
Well, okay, you're a head coach. That's what you're supposed to do is manage that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I'm saying it. I'm agreeing with you 100%. It's a stupid rule.
Yeah.
However, you know, and what they do with that, you should have gotten a penalty from where he was down. I agree 100% with that. He's costing his team a penalty. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, that's fine. But for me, even that, it was an emotional reaction during an emotional game from an emotional guy. You threw a flag out. Big deal. Big stinking deal. Where did they come up with that? And how did how have we had review for this? Well, I guess this is the first year with all these automatic reviews. How have we not heard about this before? It's never even been an issue.
I'm starting to think that ever since they had that holdout and everybody didn't like the replacement refs, I think it kind of went to their head that they wanted them back.
Yeah, it could be. So just an awful rule. All kinds of weird stuff. And I mean, so clearly down. An elbow down, a hand down, and a knee down all at one time. To blow it to begin with is completely unacceptable.
Exactly.
And then to have a rule this punitive is just disgusting.
Oh, that is the most ridiculous penalty to... I mean, that is. I mean, that.
I don't agree with it being a penalty, but I could live with it being a 15-yard. But you don't let a awful call stand because you're not going to review it because this guy threw a flag when it was your time to shine without the flag. Give me a break.
Well, I agree. I'll say this. I don't mind it being a penalty because it's like, you know, a scoring play is supposed to be reviewed. So, okay, you're throwing the flag. Like, okay, you're telling me you're challenging the ruling on the field. We haven't even reviewed it yet. Shame on you. But, other than that, you know, just give him a slap on the wrist, and that's all it should be. Because he penalized, they basically took Detroit out of the playoff picture.
Yeah, right there with one call. Just inexcusable to me. The original call inexcusable, the rule inexcusable, the whole thing, just the way it was handled was awful. Sticking with that game, more weird things. What do you make of they're talking? I got a hard time with this, Rick, the whole Indonicom Sue incident, kicking Matt Schaub in the stones. Maybe I'm the only one on the planet, but I'm looking at this. He's upside down. His head's down. His feet are up. They're all acting like it's a given. This was intentional. When I look at that, I'm wondering a little bit. There's some doubt in my mind. Am I stupid? Well, yeah, I'm stupid, but am I wrong on this one? I don't see this as the big travesty as when he stomped that guy from Green Bay last year. But this, I'm having a rough time with.
Well, you know, it's guilty by association, basically. He sued, and, well, he's obviously doing it. On purpose, you know what I'm saying?
To be honest, I hope he did do it on purpose, because that would be the first intentional groin kick in the history of the NFL. And I think if the NFL's lacking anything, it's groin kicks.
Well, yeah. I mean, probably haven't had intentional groin kicks since Conrad Dover retired. But I mean,
who in the what? You've got to stop doing.
He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, come on. Come on, man.
Speak in the Super Bowl era. That's what I ask of you.
St. Louis Cardinals.
St. Louis Cardinals. That tells you.
70s and 80s. I mean, come on. That's Super Bowl, pal.
I was born in 1977, my friend.
Oh, Super Bowl era. Now we go with the Super Bowl era, and that's not good enough. What, Super Bowls from what, 1992 to present?
Well,
or
let's see.
What?
Now, I probably started paying attention. You know, I remember the opening of the 1987 season. The Browns beat the Steelers 52-0, I believe it was. So that's when
you recall the 87. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, I'm touched.
But look that up. The Browns beat the Steelers 52-0 on opening day. That's my first real football. You know what? That's not true. I remember watching the Bears-Patriots Super Bowl in 85 and the Super Bowl shuffle in the fridge.
Shut up. You did. You saw
What's with
that
this
one
voice?
Too.
You know, that word you said on the show the other week, and then you're bringing this voice out. Anyhow, I don't know what this has to do with it. What were we talking about?
It's Sid Luckman argument for crying
out
loud.
Here we go again. We can't seem to get along. Anyhow, we probably ought to talk about Detroit. Matt Stafford, 441 yards, 2 touchdowns, just couldn't get it in the end zone last part of the fourth quarter in overtime. Mikel LeShore, only 12 for 32, but found the end zone. Jaquill Bell, is that – what is it?
Yeah.
Bell, Jaquill?
I think that's what
name,
it is, yeah.
Something like that. Where'd this guy come from? A bust off at 30-yarder. Seems to do that once a week. Doesn't get a lot of carries, but makes the most of everything he does get.
Yeah, and, you know, congratulations if you started Matt Stafford this week.
Yeah,
I'll tell
no
you what, because he threw out some points for you.
Yeah, Megatron does his usual thing with the one I wrote down, Rick. Ryan Broyles, 6 for 126 yards, a guy a lot of people were excited about when Burleson went down, really came to life this week.
Yeah, I mentioned that, I believe it was the week that Burleson went down. I mean, I really like that kid, and he's got all the tools, and he's got the makings of being a good wide receiver.
Yeah, no question about it. So that's about all the takeaways from that game. Just an exciting game, a weird game, an irritating game for me, no question. Let's move on to a game that irritated Jerry Jones, and Washington beats Dallas 38-31 in a game that really wasn't that close.
No, and I don't know. We talked about it before. I mean, Dallas, boy, they've got some talent on that team, but, boy, are they sloppy.
Yeah.
That is the sloppiest team to watch. It's incredible, and it's not like this team has just been put together. I mean, you got Romo. He's a veteran. You got Felix Jones been around. Dez Bryant's not – he's, what, third year now,
yeah.
I believe. Miles Austin, same thing. Of course, he's always hurt. But and of course, Jason Witten. I mean, just stupid penalties, just bad throws. And
bad foot. You never know. Get a good drive going, and it could just blow up at any time. Let's start with the Redskins, though, Rick. Robert Griffin III does it again. 311 through the air, 4 touchdowns and a pick, 6 carries for 29 yards. I think he sealed up the Rookie of the Year award in yesterday's game.
It's possible. Indy hasn't played yet.
Well, that's true.
Know.
And Andrew Luck could probably do it.
And, of course, Tampa hasn't played yet.
Yeah, no question.
And Cleveland hasn't played. I mean, I tell you what, we'll get into that as some of the the thankful for fantasy football has something to do with the class of rookies this year.
Okay, well, we'll move on then. Alfred Morris, speaking of rookies who are standing out, gets back on after 2 down games, gets back together, 24 for a 113 and a touchdown. Very workmanlike. That's what you get out of Mike Shanahan's offense and out of Alfred. Alfred Morris. If you can find him his 25 carries, this is what he's going to do every single week.
And those are the running backs that I love.
Absolutely.
Just, 20 to 30 carries every game, pound it, get them yards, the tough ones at the goal line. Love those kind
of
guys.
And there's not many of them left. Him, Marshawn Lynch, Trent Richardson. I'm not sure I can name a fourth. Somebody out there probably could.
Yeah.
Chris Johnson turning back into one of those guys.
Of course,
guys.
AP, but, I mean, he's not really the same type, you know, that way.
No, but I like these big plodding guys. If you give them their 25 carries, they're going to get 100 and get in the end zone.
Right.
Not a lot more, but nevertheless, and I like that. And Pierre Garçon, a nice return after that foot injury. I think we all thought he was going to be out for the year. Comes back, bad game last week, but back in it this week, 5 for 93 and a touchdown. They say he's not 100%. I think this kid's got a real bright future in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, I was the proponent. I wouldn't start him coming off a foot injury, but I tell you what, he got in the end zone. He looked pretty good.
And here's a guy, I tell you what, he surprises me. I remember talking about him in the offseason. I honestly thought he was a product of Peyton Manning. That he was sort of one of those mid-level guys. There was about seven guys, Austin Colley, just seven guys on that team who, depending on who was healthy, would pop up. Garçon was putting up nice numbers. Apparently, which is news to me, watching him with Robert Griffin III, this guy is a legitimate star in terms of being a wide receiver in the NFL.
Oh, exactly. And I'll tell you what, another guy on that team that's impressive is our old friend, the Bad Penny, Santana Moss.
Does it again.
He's that veteran guy And Griffin's relying on him. I mean, they trust each other. And he knows he's going to be there. He's going to catch the ball when he delivers it. I mean, and he's turning into a real important guy in that offense.
Yeah, he'll just never go away. On the Dallas side, a very Romo-like this year. Throws again for over 400 yards, 441, three touchdowns, but two really inopportune interceptions. Just what you're going to get out of Tony Romo, apparently.
Yeah, unfortunately, and they always come at the wrong time. And it's just one of those things that he can't get rid of that bugaboo of getting the bad turnover at crucial times. And he'll never lose that stigma unless he quits doing it.
Yeah, that's all you can do, just finds a way to lose games. He puts up stats. Still, this is a fantastic fantasy stat line. But in terms of the NFL, I don't think they're going to win any Super Bowls if Tony Romo doesn't have a dramatic shift here.
No, but like you said, he's right there in that second tier fantasy quarterback.
Oh, I'd start him week after week.
Yeah.
His worst weeks, he throws for 400 yards. When things are going well, he throws for 275 and two scores.
Yeah.
I mean, when it's a disaster, this is what you get out of him.
Yeah, exactly. And, as a comment in the chat room, it's a very good analogy. Romo is the A-Rod of football.
Absolutely.
You know?
When it doesn't matter, he's going to put up those numbers. That's a perfect analogy.
You betcha.
Back to speaking of disasters, Felix Jones, 6 carries, 14 yards against a bad Washington defense. I know they were behind early, but 6 carries for 14 yards. I know he had a couple of grabs as well. But
he did find the end zone with that one catch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it salvaged anybody that was forced to start him.
I had him on a tier where with injuries I was forced to start. That touchdown did save me. But this guy, I just don't think he's going to get it back. And DeMarco Murray, your boy, can't come back soon enough.
No. And, I fear DeMarco Murray's durability is always going to be an issue, but, you know, time will tell. Maybe it's just kind of one of those, you know, you have a couple years of injury and then you get healthy. I hope that's the case with him because he's such an upgrade over Felix Jones.
No question about it. Fits well into that offense. And Dez Bryant, the end of the Jekyll and Hyde, we got the good Dez Bryant this week.
Yeah, of course, I was playing the guy that had him.
As always, 8 for 145, finds the end zone twice, a real nice game out of him. Wish he could string it together consistently every week and stay healthy and get his mind right. Because when his mind's right, when he's healthy, when things are going good, they're real good. And he's as good as any wide receiver in this league.
Yeah, that's for sure. And Jason Witten, 9 catches for 74 yards. Not the dynamic yardage that sometimes he can put up, but, some nice safe catches to keep plays or to keep drives going. Didn't find the end zone, but if you're in PPR, he was worth the start.
Yeah, in a PPR, you'll take that every time. So we'll move on, Rick. Not a lot to say about that last game. What a disaster. I think they should have stuck with those two games on Thanksgiving night. New England 49, the New York Jets, I can't read my writing, was it 17 or 19? I don't think it matters. It wasn't even that close. Brady, a very Tom Brady-like, 323, three touchdowns. Ridley, 97 yards and a touchdown. Welker, 71 yards and a touchdown off of seven grabs.
Yeah, I'd like to touch on the Jets offense if
okay,
I could.
You please do. Now, let's be fair. If our boy Jay Smooth's listening, and you know, we got a few people with Sanchez love, but I think it's our boy at Fantasy Sixth Man who really loves him some Sanchez. Over 300 yards last night, Rick. 301. Well, you don't have to mock them now. 301 yards, a real milestone for Mark Sanchez with a touchdown. Unfortunately, he threw a bad pick, fumbled the ball
away. Yeah, but
away.
You know those 300 yards. And I know they're fantasy points and they count, but let's face it, they were blurred out. New England was giving up yards.
Yeah.
And that's just.
But I want to give credit where he's due. I'm going to give a game ball to Mark Sanchez for getting over the not only over
you
the 200,
right
not only over the 200 yard mark, which eludes him so often, but to go over 300 is fantastic news for at least Jay Smooth, and that's all we really care about in terms of the Jets. Sean Green, 14 for 71, very Sean Green-like, just what you can expect out of him week after week.
Yeah, and you can live with, you know, 14 for 71 night. He didn't look too awful bad. The Jets were down so much they couldn't really rush the ball, pound it or anything. They choose not to lots of times anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, 71, if he, and that's the thing with Sean Green. If he could find the end zone,
yeah,
you know, he could certainly salvage a lot of these starts, you know, in a flex position or something like that. But they score so little.
Yeah, and
it's horrible.
Unfortunately, with him, it's happened a lot lately. It's actually Mr. Powell who's finding the end zone. What I find interesting with him, he gets 12 carries himself, so 14 for Green, 12 for Powell. The question's going to be, and it's hard, you're not going to be able to take a lot from it out of a blowout like that. Are we going to see a more even distribution like this, or was this just as a result of the lopsided score? That's what would make me nervous.
Most likely. They won last week, and Powell got a good share of that. I think he scored twice in that
game.
Yeah,
he
and,
seems to be the goal line back anyhow. So,
and how many yards did he get yesterday?
He had 40, 12 for 40.
Yeah.
So only 3 yards a carry,
right,
but seems to have a nose for the end zone. Could hurt Sean Green owners a little bit. But I think when you drafted Sean Green, you're to this point in the season, 14 for 71, just what you're going to expect. If you get anything else, it's
right,
just a bonus.
He's a stopgap. At best.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that's it for those games. That last game, a real disappointment. We might as well, Rick, jump right in. We burned half the show already, most of it with the Charlie Daniels story and that fight about that Norm guy from Cheers that we just had. But let's give our starts and sits real quick so we can do tell everyone what we're thankful for this year.
Okay, we'll start off with the quarterback starts, and I'm going this week, especially since the last performances over the last few weeks have been bad, don't give up on Eli. I can see this Green Bay game being a real shootout, and I think you may be pleasantly surprised with some Eli stats this week.
Yeah, we're still a week away from December when Eli really seems to turn it on, but the bye, I think, come at a nice time while he was really struggling. So I agree, good chance of him to do it. Again, this is the time of year he eats up, so we'll look for it. I went out on a bit of a limb, Rick, and it's a limb because we're done with the bye weeks. Outside of, you know, Roethlisberger, we don't know about Vic. He's in the air. I don't know how much of a quarterback situation you're in, but if you're in a deep league or you have an injury, if you were starting Roethlisberger, maybe you're one of those people stuck starting Vic, I don't know who you're going to play him over. But I saw something in Colin Kaepernick last week that really impressed me, especially in terms of running the ball. And playing New Orleans this week, as bad as that front seven is for New Orleans, there's going to be some situations. I expect, again, I don't know who you start him over, but I expect big things from Kaepernick this week.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly thought of him as well. He provided a real spark for that San Francisco offense last week against a really good defense. And if he can keep that up, he seems very comfortable starting back there. You know, you get a lot of these guys that get into a situation like that, And they almost had the deer in headlights look as the defense start giving them some different looks. But this guy seems very comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. So, just again, I don't know who you start him over, but just somebody I think is going to have a nice week. I'll go ahead and do the sit Rickley quarterback. It's hard this week. Again, you got what you got at this point. If you don't know it by now, Nick Foles, I don't think, is the savior in Philadelphia as they thought he was going to be. Going up against the suspect Carolina defense, but in two games, put up some yardage, but four interceptions. Looks every bit the rookie he is. Mike Vick owners, if you've been stashing him or if you're an Eagles fan and wants to get him in there, in terms of fantasy football, I say just not yet.
Yeah, I'm certainly not a big fan that Foles is going to be a savior. I had him as a sit last week, so I agree with that 100%. Mine, you're talking about Kaepernick. I don't know who you'd start over. I don't really know if you would have this guy as a number one, but with Amendola being out, going up against Arizona defense in Arizona, I got no faith in Sam Bradford.
No, an Arizona defense that picked off Matt Ryan five times last week. It'd definitely make you a little bit nervous starting him. I agree. I don't know. I would like to see the team you have where you're starting Sam Bradford, but if you're in a deep league, I'd start calling Kaepernick over Sam Bradford.
I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that may have your Cutlers or your Vicks or
That's
your Roethlisbergers and
yeah.
so forth and have him stash on the bench. You know, what you do to try to get somebody better than him, I have no idea.
I'd play Kaepernick over him, would you?
If you could get him now.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. It's tough to give advice in that situation if you've had a Roethlisberger that's hurt and then you had Bradford sitting there and they're just falling apart with injuries and impotent offense. But, I don't know who you could pick up. If Kaepernick was out there, I'd certainly grab him, that's for sure.
Yeah, all right. So why don't you go ahead and start a running back?
Start a running back. I'm going up against the Oakland offense, or defense, excuse me. They're coming across to Cincinnati. I like Ben Jarvis Greenhouse. He had over 100 last week and a touchdown. And I think he could have some good numbers this week, too.
Yeah, no question about it. A guy, we say it every week, we were really high on going into the year. He's been a disappointment. He's become a matchup play, and I've been using him as that in some leagues. And I think this week that's definitely a matchup you're looking for, and I agree. Go ahead and start him. Mine, we spent a lot of time last week wondering what was going to happen with the Pittsburgh running situation with Rashard Mendenhall coming back. What I saw last week, again, still a bad defense, I think we've gotten to the point where Jonathan Dwyer has earned the bulk of the carries in that offense. Tomlin won't say, but I'm telling you, John Dwyer continues to do it in a game where it's going to be smash mouth. They're going to have to run the ball down to their third quarterback. I'm going to start over some guys of note. I'm going to start Jonathan Dwyer this week.
I agree that he certainly earned the bulk of the carries. Whether or not he's going to get them, if Mendenhall plays, I don't know. But I certainly like Jonathan Dwyer going forward.
Absolutely. I'll jump in, start right off with the sit, Rick. We spent a lot of time talking about it with Daniel Thomas starting to steal more and more carries. He's cursing under his breath. He just turned the microphone off. So apparently we both are going to tell you to sit Reggie Bush this week.
And you know what? We're going to have to go unanimous. We went with the Chris Johnson start that one week.
Yep.
And, if you haven't learned by now, I think I went last week on record saying I thought he was going to make a statement against Buffalo. And to me, he did make a statement, only it was totally opposite what I thought was coming out. And I do not like Miami going forward. I think they're done. I really do. They seem to have collapsed. And Reggie Bush has fallen out of favor, and they're just not getting it done.
Well, I certainly no arguing that then if the gong has come out. So where are we at, Rick? All right, why don't you go ahead and start a wide receiver?
Okay. Chad Henne has seemed to fall into a pretty good in Jacksonville, and it seemed like the best beneficiary of him is Justin Blackmon.
Yeah.
And they're going up against Tennessee. It's a division game. I kind of like him going into this game.
Interesting. That's a gutsy call. He has the one big game, the big breakout. I like your argument, though. He was doing nothing with Gabbert back there. There's something going on between him and
Henne. And he's out for the year.
And that means a lot that if Henny's looking for him, looking his way.
And look, further to the point, Gabbert's out for the year, and Laurent Robinson's out for the year. They've declared them done. It's Blackman and Shorts.
Yeah, just increases targets for both guys. A gutsy call, but I think there's some guys out there you can play him over. For me, Rick, I'm going to this guy 2 weeks in a row has gotten it done. I'm starting to buy in, become the number one target for this team. Denario Alexander going up against Baltimore. Not huge in PPR leagues, but able to catch the deep ball lightning fast. Seems to keep finding the end zone. I think Denario Alexander is a guy we're starting to talk about as an every week flex spot.
Yeah, I think he's filled in as Phillip Rivers' new Vincent Jackson.
Yeah.
He's a big, rangy guy, albeit he's not as good as Jackson, I don't think. You know, he's running around to rebuild knees, but he's getting the job done.
Yeah, no question about it. So jumping to the sit, I brought this up at the opening of the show, Rick. I think Antonio Brown, Heath Miller, maybe especially with Charlie Batch playing for the Steelers this week. You're going to see more dink and dunk. Batch gets it up fast, which I think hurts Mike Wallace this week against Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I don't think Bash can get it down the field too much to him. And you probably could find somebody better. I agree.
Let's look at our starts. I'd start Alexander over him. Blackman, that'd be tough.
Blackman's
but I
iffy.
Consider it. That'd be iffy. But that's what we're doing. We're talking about Wallace on a plane with Justin Blackman instead of Wallace on a plane with the number one guys that we usually compare him to.
Okay, let's see. Wallace or, Crabtree.
Crabtree.
Okay, Wallace or Bo.
Wallace, just because I'm done with Dwayne Bowe.
Okay.
He may not play this week.
That's true. Okay, Wallace or...
One for you, Stevie Johnson.
Johnson.
Yeah, I agree.
Brandon LaFell. I can't believe we're comparing Wallace to LaFell.
I think it's Wallace, but it's a hell of a lot closer than it should be.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I've been gutsy on my calls with wide receiver. I went with Blackman as a start. And I know St. Louis defense isn't that vaunted, but Larry Fitzgerald has almost become unplayable.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Mr. Lindley starting again. When you get down to a guy named Lindley, you're in a lot of trouble. Yeah, let's go through that list of everybody we named. Everybody I'd start over Wallace, and even the ones I called a push, I'm definitely starting over Larry Fitzgerald. It's sad. Probably the most talented wide receiver in the league. Just nobody can get the ball to him.
Yeah, they have no run game. Andre Roberts, even on his side of the field, seems to have the tools in the hands to help out Fitzgerald, but they have no run game and no one to get it to him.
Yeah.
They just can't do anything.
Well, come on, Beanie Wells is coming back. That run game is about to be revived.
I'll tell you what. What they have right now, he probably is an upgrade.
Yeah.
I mean, I really thought... With Howling and Williams early in the year, I figured Wells would be – they would just forget about him sooner or later. But they can't get it done. I don't know if it's just a product of a bad line. But I've seen running backs, even with bad lines, seem to have big days here and there. And they just cannot seem to get a big day, period, out of a running back.
I mean, I think it's a product of not having a quarterback. Why would you ever respect the pass game? There should be 9 guys in the box at all times.
Right.
You see it if you watch game film on the NFL Network when they break it down. There are teams putting one-on-one coverage on Larry Fitzgerald just knowing that this quarterback can't get it to him.
Yeah.
So you can let him run wide open down the middle of the field. They can't get it to
him. And think how defenses have changed since Kurt Warner left.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game. Absolutely. All right, so that's the starts and sits. Put them down, live by them, win. That's what you're going to do. So let's move on, Rick, to the biggest hack segment of the world. It's our Turkey Day celebration, what we are thankful for this Thanksgiving.
I did a little turkey hunting today.
Yeah, I'm going to do some tomorrow, bright and early, so I can't wait. Hopefully this wind dies down. It's like a hurricane out there tonight.
Okay, one of the first things, I'll start this shtick off. One of the things that I am thankful for in fantasy football this year is the reuniting of Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler.
Yeah, that's been your favorite thing all season, no doubt.
And, he's just a beast, and they have chemistry and get it done.
Yeah, all right. Excellent one. Can't disagree with that. Rick, I am most thankful for in fantasy football this year, the Saints defense. 32nd against the rush, 157.8 yards per game, giving up 9 touchdowns. 31st against the pass, giving up 312 yards per game. What they have done is made our start-sit segment the easiest segment to do week after week. We look like fantasy geniuses because we'll just tell you to start whoever's playing the Saints, and we haven't been wrong yet.
I'll tell you what, though. You put the last 2 or 3 weeks together, they're starting to come together. This team, if they don't make the playoffs, they're going to be in the hunt down to the last week. I swear. They're putting it together.
Yes, starting to, but in terms of fantasy, I'm still going to go ahead and play my guys against this
team. No doubt. Okay, number two things that I'm thankful for in fantasy football. Mike Shanahan settling on one running back to use.
Oh, that's an excellent one. Absolutely, I agree.
He is actually not driving fantasy owners crazy this year.
One guy, week after week. We said it just a while back and breaking down the game, 24 carries. This is something he hasn't done for a few years since probably back to Terrell Davis, and you see it pays dividends. I agree 100%. So I'm going to move on, Rick. I am thankful for, I think you tipped off that you were going to do a rookie segment. I'm just going to pull one guy out. I am thankful for Doug Martin at 1,000 yards already, 7 touchdowns, averaging right at 100 yards a game. A guy I got in the middle to low fourth round in 4 different drafts has made all the difference in the world for my team. Plus, his nickname is the Muscle Hamster. There is nothing finer in terms of nicknames than the Muscle Hamster, so I am thankful for Doug Martin.
Yeah, I'll have to go along with that and talk about very surprised. I was a big proponent of like a Jacobs Bradshaw type split at the beginning of the year, and it never happened, and deservedly so. This kid's special. I agree 100%. And I'm just going to expand on that. One, it was down a little bit on the list, but I'm going right to it. One of the things I am thankful for is the rookie class this year being so impressive. You've got Martin, as you mentioned. Okay, Alfred Morris, RG3, Andrew Luck, Trent Richardson, Brandon Whedon, Tannehill, Keekly. I mean, what an impressive year for rookies this year.
And fantasy relevant, which is what you often don't get. When rookies succeed, they're generally at the line, defensive positions, defensive line, linebackers, quarterbacks, not only playing well, fantasy relevant, and in terms of Griffin and Luck, both fantasy starters. Running backs, this happens a little more often, but maybe not to this degree. Martin and Richardson, probably both top 12 running backs. Absolutely, probably the best in terms of fantasy football rookie class in a long time.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, being a sixth-round pick, I think Alfred Morris has certainly acquitted himself quite well.
Done quite well, and a guy who probably wasn't drafted in a lot of fantasy football leagues, that big waiver wire pickup that you get every year, the Maurice Jones-Drew type that comes out of nowhere. I'll move on, Rick. I am thankful for Chris Johnson's resurgence this season. A terrible year last year, really put it together and starting to get consistent. I wrote down here's what he did in terms of yardage this season. 4, 17, 24, then up to 141, then 24, and then just off he went. 91, 195, 99, 146, 126. He may not be as explosive as he was back in 2009, but Chris Johnson is back as a top 5 or 6 fantasy running back, and I couldn't be more thankful for that, because how much time did we spend spouting off he was the number 4 overall pick? He's starting to creep up to where we don't look so stupid anymore.
Yeah, and I actually actually acquired him in the league that we fight against. You know, I traded Jamal Charles straight up for him, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, no question about it.
Okay, another thing that I am thankful for: the return of Peyton Manning.
Yes.
I'm just so glad. I'm sorry. I like watching the guy play. Not only is he fantasy gold, he's just fun to watch. And, you know, I don't get sick of him. And, I'm just glad that he's back and playing well.
Yeah, the NFL is better with Peyton Manning in it, and fantasy football is better because you add a fourth guy to the top tier of quarterbacks in this league. Rick, I'm thankful for – I'm doing this just to get you wound up. I'll be honest right off the top. I am thankful for Romeo Crennel just in terms of what he's done to you this season, to where you got to the point where, like you just said, you had to trade Jamal Charles. And any head coach, when asked why – the fastest man in the NFL, with the biggest breakaway ability, only got the ball four times, who answers, I don't know. By God, I'm thankful for that, because that makes press conferences worth watching.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that ranks right up there with, Denny Green's rant on Chicago, playoffs, Jim Mora. I mean, it does, because it was so stupid. I'm not sure. How are you not sure? Don't you run the team? Honest to Pete. Oh, well.
That's why I'm thankful for that right there. Thank you, Rick. I'm thankful for that rant.
Okay, another thing that I'm thankful for, because you always say I'm old.
True.
Being old, I don't like much change.
True.
So I'm thankful for things staying constant. And what I mean is, we just read them off last week. Breeze, Brady, Rodgers, Manning. One, two, three, and four.
Right where they should be. Yeah,
that's
I agree. Again, that makes us, quote-unquote, air quotes now, fantasy experts look smart when it goes the way it's supposed to. So I agree. I will be thankful for that. Rick, I'm going to stick on sort of the line I'm on right now. I'm thankful for Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow. Just good TV, and that's what it's all about. I'm from the generation who can't sit still and can't watch the same channel for too long. So when I got something like Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow taking up the entire offseason, the average NFL fan who only cares about their team and a little bit here and there knows everything there is to know about Sanchez and Tebow, it hasn't shaken up at all. Tebow hasn't touched the ball, hasn't been relevant. You and I have predicted for 7 straight weeks that was going to be the week that Tebow was taking over the job. So I am thankful for just the nonsense in New York altogether.
Yeah, it's kind of fun that you have the Jets to take away all the talk, and just let the legitimate team, the Giants, actually try to position themselves to actually get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, another thing that I am thankful for in fantasy football, the advances in sports medicine. So we are not without guys like Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, Rashard Mendenhall after devastating knee injuries anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you look back in time, and some of these guys, you have injuries like they had, second year at least before they're really going to mm-hmm. be back. And that's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
And I like that because, you know what, it makes you as a fantasy owner actually say, you know what, I can get this guy next year and be happy.
Yeah, and in this case, I was able to get Adrian Peterson in the 3rd round, Jamal Charles late in the 2nd, first-round talent you're able to get late because of the risk, and these guys, credit to them for having the ability to come back, but I agree, credit to the doctors for getting them back. All right, last thing I have, Rick, I'm going to end it with this. If you have more, you can go on. This is everything I have. I'm going to spin it the other way, as I tend to do sometimes. I'm going to do something I'm not thankful for, something I want changed. I've already had this rant, but I screwed up the opening, and I'm still screwing it up. The thing I am least thankful for is some of these stupid rules in the NFL. That challenge thing, I already screamed about it for 15 minutes. How about this thing with receptions where you now have to catch the ball, go to the ground, stand up, shove it down your pants, pull it out the bottom of your pant leg, twirl it on your finger, and hand it to the referee, or it's not a catch. So it's either an incompletion. There's no such thing as a fumble in the NFL anymore. I'm sick and tired. I'm tired of these stupid rules. It's gone way too far. This possession thing, this new thing I learned yesterday with the challenge and all that crap. Let's get away from this and let's go back to playing football.
I agree, but unfortunately, it's not going to happen.
No, you're right, because we have all these replays that they can break down frame by frame and nitpick every single play.
Yeah, it is. There's a camera at every angle, and I'm not exaggerating.
No.
At every angle of a catch. And, it's nice if they get it right, but the thing that I notice is the announcers. You'll have like Troy Aikman and them up there. Well, they're going to overturn this catch. And they'll turn around after 20 minutes like, oh, the ruling's confirmed. And you see the ball bouncing
you see
around.
It obvious. It's obvious, yeah.
And, yeah, I agree 100%. Okay, I got one more, and then we'll move on. But, kind of get back to the things that stay constant. It's kind of this way, wide receivers. I'm thankful for Roddy White, Calvin Johnson,
there you go.
AJ Green, Brandon Marshall, Marquise Colston, Vincent Jackson. You I mean, you got what you expect out of these guys.
Just doing what they do. I agree 100%. All right, Rick, we got about 4 minutes left for any content. I do want to, everybody only listens on Friday for one reason, so I want to go ahead and play a quick game of Fact or Fiction.
Yes, we still have time for fabulous prizes.
We should get some fabulous prizes. I agree, except we're both...
Maybe an Asylum t-shirt.
Yeah, we could do that.
Winter.
One of
that
these days,
awesome.
One of these days we'll do that. All right, I hate to cut the music off, but we got to...
Boy, me too.
We got to get moving here and play. So just some rapid fire, maybe your best two or three, Rick.
Okay, I will start off quickly here. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a legitimate start at Indianapolis this week. He's been the topic of discussion here many times.
Yeah.
Late.
I'm going to say fiction just based on the fact that bye weeks are over. I know Roethlisberger's out, Vic's out, but most of the big-name quarterbacks are still available. I think you probably have a better option on your team, so I'm going to say fiction.
Okay. I can see a lot of teams with a dilemma with this guy because I know he was drafted by a lot of guys thinking – okay, this guy's my number one guy. They got him down, you know, in one, some of the later rounds thinking they could ride with him.
Yep, no question about it. So, Rick, I'll give you one real quick here, something we already discussed, so I think I know the answer, but let's bet it out right now. Fact or fiction, Jonathan Dwyer leads the Steelers in carries this week against the Browns. Ooh, okay.
As much as I agree with you, he's earned it and everything, I have this sneaky suspicion that Tomlin's going to give the bulk of the work to Mendenhall.
Maybe one of those money decisions, perhaps, a guy making the most?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I'm not sure. Okay, I guess it's me. So, and time is winding down, so I'll have to come up with one here.
Good preparation.
Oh, no, we have them right here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Chris Johnson will get over 140 yards against Jacksonville.
I had 150 written. That was my next question for you, so well done. I'm going to say no, if it's total yards. I think maybe he's about 120, 125 rushing. Another 25.
That was rushing.
Rushing, 140. I'm going to stick with it. Why wouldn't he? I'll stick with it. I don't think a lot of... We need to break that down much. All right, Rick, this one is a little tougher, maybe interesting with all the running back questions out there. Donald Brown this week manages 80 rushing yards against that terrible Buffalo defense.
You know, Donald Brown's been having trouble with that knee. I know he's going to start. They've been using Vic Ballard a lot. So I'm going to go. I think as a team they'll probably have over 100, but I can see Brown in about 60 to 70 tops.
I agree. Probably even split between him and Ballard. I think you're right.
Okay. Fact or fiction? Charlie Batch will have a touchdown pass against Cleveland.
I think no question about it. It's going to be about the run game, I understand. But if they get inside the 10, Charlie Batch, what Byron Leftwich didn't manage to do, you brought up the name several times this show, is going to manage to find Heath Miller in the end zone at some point in this game.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Rick, let's move on. Let's see, what's a good one here? Fact or fiction, Marcel Reese backs up his performance from last week, again this week against Cincinnati.
I'm going to go, but I don't think he's going to have as many points
as he had last week.
I think he's going to be certainly, obviously, you know, I think he's going to be a legitimate start because I recommended him actually over Jamal Charles this week.
Yeah, no question. So maybe time for one more here, Rick.
One more. Okay. Oh, boy. Okay, this is one that I've been tossing around, and it's very possible. But which way do I want to ask it to you? I'm going to give you fact or fiction. Aaron Rodgers outscores Eli Manning fantasy-wise this week.
Aaron Rodgers outscores Eli. You know what? Based on nothing but what I've seen so far, I fully grant you Eli could come out. We're getting to that time of year, throw out for 403 touchdowns. But it's Aaron Rodgers. That team's really starting to come together. So if I'm betting money, I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers every time.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree. And I'll tell you one thing that could be what's really affecting New York a lot. You know, Hakeem Nicks is not in there. And, he hasn't been in there. And Mario Manningham's gone.
Yeah.
So you're basically down to Cruz, Hickson.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a different monster.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, we are out of time. Boy, this show flew by, Rick.
Yeah, it did.
Actually a good show, I would say. If, maybe. Well,
yeah, as long as we think so.
Yeah, it was all right anyhow.
Yeah.
So that's it. Again, thanks for checking out the show. Check out the website, AsylumFantasyFootball.com. Email us, AsylumFootball@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at the official fantasy football site of Charlie Daniels, @AsylumFootball on Twitter. We will be back. To be honest, our Tuesday show's a little up in the air. We're not going to be live in our normal time slot. We will either pre-record and put it in that slot. If we have to do it Wednesday, we'll certainly get the word out on Twitter. So keep an eye on @AsylumFootball on Twitter to know what's going to happen on beginning of next week.
That's it, man. Thanks for joining us in our special Thanksgiving version of the Asylum Fantasy Football Show.
We'll see you.
Take care.
Cranking up ACDC, Hank Skinner, George Strait. Where's the girls? I call them up a little.